Grab a seat. If you have your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 15. Let me invite Miss Peyton Trost up here. Oh my goodness. I think I almost got it. No, I kept getting this higher and higher. So this young lady, it's that time where everybody's getting sick, so I didn't have anybody to read scripture today. And so I went out and was like, Peyton, I need you. And she's like, I'm all over it. I've got it. So spur of the moment, we're having to read. So thanks for reading, Peyton.
No problem. So we will be in John chapter 15, reading verses 1 through 12. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Peyton. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that you lead us, that you invite us into this beautiful place that Jesus speaks of in John 15. And I ask, God, that you would reveal this beautiful word to us as we open God's word today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So good to be with all of you and excited to be able to share God's word with everyone today. So in John 15, in just these few short verses, Jesus is going to give us the secret of life. This foundational truth, this powerful word that speaks to some of the most pervasive problems that we have in our lives. And so what I thought we'd do to kind of begin our time together today in this passage is we would look at two of these areas that Jesus is going to speak to. So the first area is this: no love. This is a problem that speaks to the area of relationships. And the way I think of this is you're looking at friendships in your life, and you say, I have no friends. I have tried, and I'm trying to build relationships. I'm trying to make new friends, but for whatever reason, it seems like it never works out. And you get so bad to the point where you're like, well, I'm trying to build these friendships, and it keeps ending poorly, and so you get kind of fatigued, and you're like, I don't want to try anymore. This is so hard, and it feels like it's so fruitless. I just want to stop trying. And I hear sometimes the comment, like, why don't I have a best friend? Like, I want to have a girlfriend I can go hang out with. Or maybe if you think about a husband or a wife, and you're like, well, why can't we get on the same page? Or even you think maybe, why can't I have a relationship with my kids like I see this other family has? So example for this issue of relationships that I have seen and had to work through in my life, it was one that was involving my daughter Micah. So back when my daughter was going through graduating high school, this would have been a couple of years ago, I was noticing this thing that was just killing me about her senior year in high school, and it was this new thing called dual enrollment. I don't know if you've ever heard of dual enrollment or maybe even participated in this dual enrollment thing, but basically what it is you get to take college classes while you're in high school. And I actually knew one of the young men that graduated high school with my daughter, Micah. He had like 40 plus hours of credit for college credit so that when he went to college, he was like a second semester sophomore the first day because he had so many credit hours. And, you know, I hear about this, and to be clear, I think it's terrific. Like, to be able to get college credit, what a great deal. What a great system. But here was where I kind of had this what I don't like about it, is that the kids are, you know, they're spending all of this time in these college classes, and they're therefore away from the normal classroom time that you would have had with all of your, you know, senior friends, you know, where you're in class and you're making memories and you're doing things together. And it's like, no, like for Micah's class, it was like they were scattered around the city taking classes, or they were doing something online in a separate place. And so it made the senior year look so different from what I remember from when I was a senior. So when I was a senior, it felt like, the teachers were a little easier on you academically. Remember this? Like, they were like, we better take it easy. They're seniors, which means they're, like, not paying enough attention. So they were kind of like, okay, we're going to take it easy on them. And so you would go to football games and graduation parties. And, you know, it was just like this fun year to kind of take your victory lap because you're a senior. Like, that's what I kind of remember. And, you know, I look at Micah and her high school experience, and she had a great high school experience, like so many good things and great friends. But I'm like, why? And there's just so many obstacles in the way of building relationships that I'm like, why can't we make this easier for them, you know? Her class actually turned out it was her sophomore year was lost to COVID-19. And so you compound that with this dual enrollment. It's like, man, can't we just try to help them out a little bit in this building of relationships? Because we all need help there in this area of life. So what does it look like for you? What are some ways that you feel like there are struggles or opportunities when it comes to this area of building relationships? Okay, second problem. No fruit. So this is a problem that speaks to the area of vocation and calling and fruitfulness. And your thought process in this area is like, you know, I want and I'm not seeing the fruitfulness in my life that I think that I should have. You know, maybe, you know, you think about, I could have accomplished so much, but there's been all of these things that have happened to me, or that have been limitations that have put on me that have just kept me from all of the things that I feel like I could have accomplished in my life. And so maybe you're seeing some of this frustration in your life and you think, you know, well, how do I fix me? Or how do I fix my situation so that I can, you know, finally see that fruitfulness that, you know, I think there should be in my life. So one example I thought about this area in my life. This is of, you know, of a lot of the problem areas that Jesus speaks to. This is one that really kind of got my attention because it's such a temptation. And one example was this pastor shared with me a diagnostic question that he asked me, and I'm sure you'll relate. Here's what this pastor said to me. When you see somebody coming your way at church, at the store, at the park, you know, whatever, do you look away and try to act like you didn't see them, you know, and conveniently sneak away from having to actually speak to them, or do you engage them and talk with them? So I'm sure you can picture the scenario. Ever had this happen, right? You're at the store and you see somebody and you're like, oh no. I don't want to talk to them. And so you kind of you know, very low-key, kind of go down to the next aisle so you don't have to actually walk up and talk to them. Have you ever had an experience like that where you're just trying to avoid, for whatever reason? I mean, it could be some legitimate reason, but, you know, you're just like, I don't want to have this conversation, so I'm gonna sneak away. Now, the point of the question that the pastor was asking was, it was kind of this diagnostic of, are you so task-oriented that you have an opportunity to engage with this people, you know, where you could have this people opportunity with, you know, relationship building and speaking to somebody and being there, but the problem you have is you're so busy with whatever's happening in your life, or you've got some kind of meeting that you're running off to, or whatever it is that, you know, it kind of whisks you away because this is kind of where your mind is, what you're thinking has to happen next. And unfortunately, like I say, this is something I could really relate to. I mean, he nailed me with this question because I was like, oh yeah, I've totally done that before, and I totally have thought exactly the way he's describing it. And for me, like one of the ways I think of this area is I have this need to achieve, this motor of like, I gotta get stuff done. I've gotta spend time accomplishing whatever it is that I feel like the day holds or the season holds. And so, you know, it's just this, you know, let's take the next step and get stuff done. And so this was definitely, I hear this question, and I was like, I'm tracking with you. Like, this is me. So do you struggle in this area of vocation? Or do you struggle in this area of relationships? So how is Jesus going to speak into these areas of our lives? So let's look at the secret Jesus is going to share to help us think about and consider these areas in John 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So, in John 15, we have this incredible range of the human experience. So many things that happen in our lives. Beginning in verse 3 that you have on the screen here, it says, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So this is a reference to the cleansing work of forgiveness that God has done to forgive us and bring us into our relationship with God. It's that very beginning work of God when he is saving us and bringing us to himself. And then in verse 2, it says, every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes. So pruning, this word pruning, it speaks to that there are places in our lives that are not going to be easy. These are going to be seasons of difficulty, seasons of that are challenging. But as this verse points to, God is at work to redeem. Even in times of difficulty, God is at work for our good. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. So where does joy come from? What Jesus says in John 15 is this very foundational understanding of how do I experience joy. And then in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. So in verse 4, just a couple of verses earlier, Jesus had said, abide in me. And now in verse 9, he escalates and he makes this point of abide in my love. He describes what this abiding, the nature of this abiding is going to look like. So that it's not just this experience of where we're going to meet together, but in fact, we're going to enter in and experience, encounter the love of God in this abiding. Now we look at these, you know, just these contours of relationship and hardship and joy and difficulty and love and highs and lows, such a vast range of the human experience that we all know and encounter in life. And then, in verse 5, Jesus gives us the secret. He gives us this foundational truth. It is the truth that he wants his disciples to hear from him in his address to them. And let's read it together, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So here's the secret that Jesus is showing his disciples, that he is showing to us. The greater your abiding, the greater your fruitfulness. In every experience of life, in every contour that we've been talking about with the relationships, the highs, the lows, the difficulties, the challenges, all of these places that we talk about in life, the greater, deeper, closer, more intimate is your abiding in Christ, the more significant will your experience of fruitfulness be. Not gifting, not, you know, some kind of education, or not some medication that you're on, not some, you know, person that you know, like you're going to get kind of this inside track. It is abiding in Christ. And I mentioned some of those other things because you look at those and you could see some contributing factors, things that you're like, you know, these are means of grace for me and they've helped me in my life. But when you look at those things, these are peripheral. They are secondary. They are not the linchpin issue. It is abiding. This is the answer, the foundational place that Jesus is inviting us to see and understand and enter in. The greater your abiding, the greater your fruitfulness. Now, I think of this truth as kind of like a math equation. If you'll permit me a little math nerdiness, I don't know if I've got any kind of math thinking people out there, but I have this engineering brain, so a lot of times when I look out into life, I see progressions and I convert those into math formulas. So if I was to do something of this nature to John 15, this is what that math would look like. Your fruitfulness is in direct correlation to your abiding. So you think the more that you abide, the more that abiding is increasing, then also fruitfulness will increase. And conversely, the less that you abide, the less will be your experience of fruitfulness. Now, I want to show you this concept in the vine metaphor that Jesus shared in John 15. So I want to walk you through this kind of a cornerstone metaphor that Jesus uses in our passage. And so let's look at this, kind of step through this from the look of this from the vine. So at the cross, we are forgiven, and we are, as you using the analogy, we are grafted into the vine. We were branches lying on the ground. We were, as Romans says, dead in our sin and trespasses, and then God, but God, because of his great love for us, he grafted us into Christ. He gave us this new relationship with him that now these branches have been grafted into the vine. And so now we have become, in Christ, children of God. And in addition to this, because of the cross, we also receive the righteousness of Christ. Now this is a powerful work of God. It is having this transforming effect on us in our lives, of making us into the image of his Son. And this is a work of God that continues. It's not just this initial work. It is a continuous work that is showing more of the power of God in our lives. It's this more of the grace of God being extended to us. And this is not what we typically hear. A lot of times when you hear speaking of the gospel, what you would hear is that you have this gospel work, which is really just focused on the grafting into the vine that we talked about, where we are knit together with Christ and we have a relationship with God, and now we're kind of off and running and on our own and doing the work. But in fact, what this whole analogy of the vine and the branches is trying to communicate is that there's this continuing giving of this life-giving sort of flow that's coming from the vine to the branches to give life, to yield more fruitfulness in this vine and branches analogy. And when you look at that, it is increasing in a way that Jesus is thinking of and speaking of. Look at verse 2, how Jesus articulates this. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, what's pictured here in this idea of bearing more fruit is that there's this increasing experience of fruitfulness. It doesn't just stay the same. It's growing. It's expanding. And if you think about the analogy of the branch connected to the vine, there are these, you know, this wide range of how vitally connected to the vine is that branch. From, you know, a very deeply integral connection to, on the other extreme, kind of this just very weak, very kind of almost broken connection to the vine. So let me paint a picture for you with these two extremes. So for one of the extreme, you have someone who has this connection to the vine that is like the one described by the prophet Isaiah, who, in describing Jesus' ministry, he said this: a bruised reed he will not break. So do you know what a reed is? A reed is like it's a plant. It looks kind of like a wheat stalk. And a lot of times you'll see them kind of near a body of water, like a lake or something. And you'll see them growing. And what Isaiah is speaking of is a bruised reed. So this reed is not just one of the other reeds that are standing tall. This reed is actually broken, and it's kind of, you know, tilted over, leaning over, probably blowing in the wind, to the point that you see that bruised reed and you think it's probably about to break. That's the imagery that we see here. And so if we use the analogy of the vine and the branches, what you see portrayed here is someone who has this weakest connection to the vine, where they're getting almost no nourishment from the vine in terms of that vital connection, that growing. And it is this most limited degree of abiding in Christ. But I want you to notice something about this verse. Notice how powerfully this picture communicates the compassion of God for you. So even if you are in this place where you have what you would consider the weakest of the abiding, the furthest away from this deep abiding work, God has not given up on you. A bruised reed he will not break. He is going to restore you. He is for you. He wants to see you mended and brought back to wholeness, back to abiding. So if that's you, be encouraged of the grace of God for you, that is calling you back, that you could experience this abiding again. So compare this to the other extreme. So the other extreme is pictured beautifully in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. In all he does, he prospers. So here is this tree planted next to a river. And if you've ever kind of walked on a trail that runs alongside of a creek or a river, You've probably seen this where you have like a tree and it's so close to the river that it's got these roots that are coming out. And I've seen it where the river kind of washes away the river bank a little bit to where you have these exposed roots. And those roots are kind of going down into the riverbed. And then you look at the tree and it's tall and green and healthy. And that's because it's getting all of this nourishment from being right there in this river and you know, being healthy and growing strong. And so this is a branch that has that deep integral connection to the vine. It is our deepest, most intimate abiding in Christ that's being pictured here, to the point that you are the man in Psalm 1. You are the one that bears fruit in its season, that all he does prospers, because you are seeing this incredible fruitfulness that's coming from being in the vine, the fruitfulness that comes from that being in the vine, that abiding. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Which of these two pictures sounds more like your experience of abiding? When you think of your relationship, you're pursuing your time abiding in Christ, does it look more like that first or second picture that we looked at? Now, I want to help you think about this a little bit. I want to talk about a couple of examples of how this abiding plays out using the two problem areas we talked about when we started. So let's walk through these two here for just a minute. The first that we spoke of was no love. So in this area, it's us trying to figure out, how do I build good relationships? The great contemporary philosopher Taylor Swift speaks of love. Can't have a sermon without a reference to Taylor Swift. So she speaks of love in her song Love Story. And in this song, if you're not familiar with it, there is Romeo. And he is, you know, this young man whom Juliet, a.k.a. Taylor Swift, wants to have this romance. You know, she's kind of have this experience with this young man to where he wants her to come and sweep her away, you know, and have this relationship together. But she laments in the song that, you know, she hasn't heard from him, and she's starting to wonder, you know, kind of where is he at, and she's a little, you know, kind of feeling alone, and is wondering what's going to happen next. But then Romeo comes through. He says, I talked to your dad, go pick out a white dress, and the love story is complete. So he brings this relationship together for, you know, Romeo and Juliet. But what I thought was so helpful for us is there is this experience in the middle of that relationship that's so common to our experience of how relationships go, of this, you know, waiting, wondering, uncertainty, and insecurity that is common to almost any relationship that we walk through in life. And this is where Jesus' answer of abiding is so powerful. So there is this word that Paul gives in the book of Romans that connects the dots here a little bit. He says of our relationship with God, he says this: we have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, this is a picture of, because of Christ, we've been grafted into the vine. And it says here that we are no longer orphans. We are now sons and daughters of God. We have become part of the family of God. And this place that's being invited into, that we get invited into, is not just, you know, God is now our Father in the sense of, you know, like I can write that in on my tax returns, like you know, I get the benefits of him, like a legal status. We get to call him Abba, Father. It's this intimate name of God, like something befitting the close relationship that God has made for us to become those children of God. And then Paul goes on to say this powerful word of this work of the Spirit. It says this: the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is the power of abiding. That when we have this insecurity that we talked about, when we feel forgotten in relationships, that's when God sends his Holy Spirit to us to testify to our hearts that you are my daughter. You are my son. I am the father to the fatherless. And this place that you have as my child, that will never change. And it is this secure place that he has made for us, that he invites us into, that then we can step out into these other relationships that we're trying to build in our lives. The way Jesus says it in our passage in verse 12, he says, abide in my love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. So here is what he's saying in that secure place that he's made for us. He's saying, I am going to pour out my love into your life. And it is out of that love, the overflow of that love, that you're going to be able to love people in your life. So that you don't have to be stuck in this place of, you know, I'm so lonely and why doesn't anybody love me? And somebody give me where you're very much just asking for, needing, requiring that this is the way it has to happen. Instead, now you have this ability out of the love of God for you that you can love others with his love in your life. So how do you get better at relationships? Jesus says, abide. Okay, no fruit. This was the second area that we talked about when we started. And I was trying to point out this area of fruitfulness, of, you know, I want more success in my life. I want more accomplishment. And so to think about this, I saw a great description from Christian author Oz Guinness. And he was speaking about the issues that all of us face in trying to pursue achievement in our lives. And so I've actually got two quotes from Oz Guinness. The first one won't be on the screen. The second one will. So I'll start with this first one. He says this: the expectation that we can all live purposeful lives has been given a gigantic boost by modern society's offer of the maximum opportunity for choice and change in all we do. But, he continues, out of more than a score of great civilizations in human history, the modern West is the first to have no agreed-upon answer to the question of the purpose of life. So here is the place we find ourselves in our world. We have maximum opportunity today. I mean, we have more wealth, which gives us more flexibility to kind of look out and make decisions on what we want to do. We have more access to information. Think about the access we have today compared to, you know, centuries prior of the information we have access to at our fingertips. And because of this, we have more options, more places to kind of decide and pick and decide what's life going to look like. And yet, with all these advantages, there's still this huge piece that's missing. You know, we are busy, so one thing for sure, we're not lacking for things to do. That's not the deficit that we're experiencing. I mean, I think in a funny way, it's like, you know, hey, I have to get home because I'm right in the middle of this Netflix series that, you know, I got to finish. So, you know, listen, man, I got to go. I mean, it's like we're busy, but doing what? Like, what is the purpose behind the pursuit? That's the quandary of what that purpose is. And so Oz Guinness responds to this problem, this quote's on the screen, by pointing to the right understanding of calling. Here's what he says. Calling is the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion and direction that's lived out in response to his summons. So how do we experience the sense of achievement and accomplishment that we are, you know, talking about in life? It comes from knowing this is who I am and this is who God has called me to be. This is what he has called me to do. So that when you think of this idea of achievement, the way to understand accomplishment and achievement is only understood in the context of answering the call of this one who has called you, this God who has called you to himself and to his purposes. And this is why you abide. And this is where abiding becomes this huge step for us, because as you go deeper in knowing who it is that has called you, and deeper in knowing what it is that he has called you to do, it is in that place that you can now step out and feel that sense of accomplishment, that sense of purpose, that I have done this work that he has for me. It is in this place of abiding that we find this incredible blend of contentment, with pursuit, with joy, with being used of God in this great kingdom work that he has called us to. How do I see more fruitfulness in my life? Jesus says, abide. So I had an experience of God showing me this calling to abide in my own life. It came 4 years ago. It was a time when I was in the process of, you know, planting a church, and as a church planter, I was, you know, going to God and kind of crying out. Because it was right in the middle of COVID, it was a really weird season. And so it was like, God, you know, I want to follow you. I want to be faithful to what you have for me. But man, this is hard. This is a hard season. And I, you know, I was just crying out. I mean, it was kind of a January start of a new year, and me trying to ask him, what do you have for me? And the vision that God gave me that January, It was so beautiful. It was I remember where I was. I was in Lanierland Park in Forsyth County, and they had this walking trail. And I used to go often to pray, and so I was out, and God had just sent his presence so gloriously that day. And so here I am. I'm praying, and the kind of the vision that God was sharing with me was, I need you to be Joshua. And the picture that I immediately had from the Lord of Joshua was this picture that, you know, we see in Exodus 33, where there was this Moses and Joshua. They would go into the tent of meeting with the Lord. And in that place, what would happen is, you know, Moses would meet with God. As a matter of fact, the verse says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but this young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So here is this encounter. You know, Moses is having this incredible experience with God, and God would speak to Moses, and Moses would leave the tent, and he would, like, go address the people of Israel and say, you know, this is what God is saying. But Joshua, he said, I'm not leaving. I'm staying in this glorious place. God, I want more of this. I want more of you. And he would stay in that tent to be with God. And, you know, when I think of Joshua, even that day, probably a lot like many of you, when I think of Joshua, it is that military leader who led the people of God across the Jordan River, you know, victorious, taking the promised land, and that was Joshua. And that actually was the second part of the vision that I felt like God was giving me, was like, yes, I have called you to lead, but first you have to abide. What Joshua was doing was abiding. It was this pursuit of God in that place where he was abiding. And this is the abiding that God wants for us. So where is God calling you to go deeper in abiding? Is it relationships? Or is it your lost joy? Or maybe it's trying and failing and not understanding why. Or maybe it's the hurt and brokenness of that bruised reed that we talked about, that you feel like you're at the breaking point and you are needing to abide again. Or maybe you've never experienced this kind of abiding before. And you are that branch lying on the ground that God today wants to graft into Christ. Receive this invitation from your Savior to abide. Let's pray. God, we come to you because of the great work you've done for us to make a way that we could have this relationship with you, that we could call you Abba, Father. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would do that great work today, that we would know that your heart is for us, that your compassion compels that we would come, that we would know your welcome today. Lord, I pray for all of those today that have felt this disconnect from you, that have felt the brokenness that we've talked about today. I pray that they would know your love, the love that you describe here in John 15, that you invite that we would abide in your love, that we would know your great love for us today. Do that great work, we pray, in Jesus' name. So I want to encourage you today, if you have just felt that call of God to go deeper in abiding, this is not just a principle to observe and take note of. This is a lifestyle to live. This is a decision to make that says, I want to know you, God. I want to go deeper in abiding in you. So I want to invite you just to begin that journey today of saying, God, I want to go deeper in knowing you, in abiding in you. So let's do that today as we worship together.